Spirit is a person who resides in you. And, you know, I have a liver, but I never feel it. I guess it's there. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, how do I know the Holy Spirit resides in me? Because God told me He does. And He helps me and He comforts me and He brings to mind scriptures that are necessary for me. And it's very important to understand that God has given you and me all kinds of resources whereby we can take initiative to live the Christian life. Now, God wants us to do that. So he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Am I still on? Some? Okay, good. And so we find out that we ought to take initiative. So it says, get yourself ready. I'm reading from a paraphrase here. Get yourself ready. This is the same scripture. Get yourself serious and get yourself focused on your rewards. Now, I want you to notice that he mentions here that the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. That is as sure as anything can ever be. Jesus is coming again. We're not talking about Santa Claus now. We're not talking about the bunny rabbit. We're not talking about Superman. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about the one who created the world and created us. And he for sure is coming again. It is the most important event in your future. There's nothing more important that's going to happen in your future than Jesus coming. And when he comes, you and I are going to stand before him and we are going to present to him what it is that we have done for him for the good of the kingdom. And he's going to reward us. Now that's what's being referred to by Peter. He said, rest your mind and rest your soul on the most important future event that you can possibly ever experience. Now, underneath that, there are many other events, sub-events, before we get there. And so he starts with the biggest thing. Now, that's very important, instructive to us as parents. When you're training your children, talk to them about the future. I mean long-term future. Talk to them about Jesus is going to come again, that Jesus is coming to reward us. You don't have to scare them that Jesus is going to come and do something bad to you. Jesus is not coming to do something bad to believers. We're his children. He's going to reward us for what we have done in the flesh for the sake of the kingdom. It's very important that you train your children to understand that the future is important and the future is real. Because day-to-day life is so hectic, and we're so full of anxiety about day-to-day life, we tend to only see this far. You know, what do we do next? Are you in the car yet? We're going to school. Blah, 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 blah. And we tend to live that way in the immediate. But the scripture says that what you ought to set your mind upon, your sober mind, he calls it, what you ought to set your mind upon are the big things that are coming down the road. And you have the coming of Jesus Christ. Nothing more important in your whole existence is more important than that event. But before that event, there are many other events that are very important that will help you to reach that event. So you have long-term goals and objectives. You have midterm goals and objectives. And you have short-term goals and objectives. Now, we ought to teach our children how to think that way. I mean, instead of us being the adult and we kind of think we're always going to be the adult, the fact is that God wants us to teach our children to be adult in their thinking. And one of the ways you teach your children to be adult in their thinking is to think about the future. Now, if you have ambition to earn a scholarship, many of you in this room have done that before. That doesn't just happen. You probably thought about your grades and your studies and so forth ahead of time. And someone told you to do that. And you had a good parent that said, this is really important because this is what's coming down the road. This opportunity is yours if you engage, if you're sober-minded, if you're serious. So parent, let me say to you that a very important thing that you ought to teach your children is to take initiative. I illustrated last Sunday morning from that verse that if your child is 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old, and they don't have the ability to get themselves up in the morning at the right time, then it sounds like there's a child problem, but it's really not a child problem. It's a parenting problem. Because what God teaches us is to teach our children how to have initiative. The principle is this: you don't have your children do anything. I mean, you don't do anything for your child they can do for themselves. Because if you do that, you're building some wonderful things in your child. You're building self-confidence in your child. You're building true skills in your child. Because it's not just getting up in the morning. There are 10,000 things to do every day, and you don't have to do them all. And many times, parents get to the end of the day and they say, how in the world did I make it through that? And they're exhausted. Well, you don't need to be so exhausted because you need to turn over some of that, delegate some of that over to your children. And they need to do it. There are a lot of things that children can do. I have a family living at my house right now because of an emergency, and they've been with us since March. My youngest son and his family. I really love to encourage them to do the things that they can do so their parents don't have to do them. And I get the privilege to explain that to them from time to time gently. And these are things that you can do. Can you separate the whites from the darks? Oh, yeah, that's learnable. You can do that when you're only 12 years old. Yeah, you really can. And if you're in the 10th grade, you can iron your own shirt. Now, you may never have done it, but you really can do that yourself. And you see, parents, what you ought to do, what I understand the scripture saying is, you ought to teach your children to take the initiative to be adult, to grow up. We talk about that a lot in the spiritual realm here at Beulah because we believe in discipleship training. You train believers to take care of themselves spiritually. Now, it's not uncommon when people first become believers that they're children. And Paul talked about that. He said, you're like little children. John used those terms, you're like little children. But he also told them that you need to grow up. Some of you are like children. Some of you are like young men. And some of you are like adults, Paul said, because people learn to grow up. So the parenting principle is this. Teach your children to take initiative. Teach your children to do these things because it's good for them. It's good for your whole family, but it's good for them particularly. So taking initiative is critically important. Get yourself ready, get yourself serious, and get yourself focused on your rewards. That's what it says in that verse, paraphrased. God builds initiative in His children by withholding from them what they can do themselves while He cheers for them in the stands. And God really does that. God wants us to take on responsibility like reading the Word of God and feeding ourselves the Word of God, praying, serving other people. He even mentions that in this very passage that we ought to be serving one another. As part of what we do as healthy, grown-up people. Now, another question is worth exploring, and am I doing for my child what my child could do for themselves? And if I am, why am I doing that? What are some reasons why we do for our children what they ought to do for themselves? What are some reasons? I'm sorry? Yeah, we can do it better. Yeah. Oh, isn't that true? It's so much. It's easier if I just do it myself. Have you ever said that? But you see, that doesn't help your child to grow. That's really me-centered. my impatience with my child grows out of that. Now, parents, I'm very serious. This really is how God parents you. It says right in the passage that He wants you and me to take initiative for our grown-upness, for our moving along. As a matter of fact, it's very natural for children to want to be independent from you. And if you've raised children, you know that to be true. God made children that way. And by the time they're adolescents and later adolescents, they don't want you doing things anymore. But if you are really hard, they'll finally give up and they'll just let you do it, because that's how the world works in their existence. But it's so important for them to learn to do these things. Many of us cripple our children's growth because we initiate what they ought to initiate, and we do their work for them. And as a result, they slow in their development. So I want to encourage you to do what God does, because when God parents you and when God parents me, He expects us to do what we can do. Now, there's some things we will never be able to do. I'll never produce oxygen. I'll never produce water. There's some things I always will depend on God for. But the resources that He gives me and He tells me to do, then I should take initiative for. Now, that brings us to another thing, and that is the idea of discipline, self-discipline. God grows up His children by expecting us to exercise self-discipline. And He does this raising us to serve rather than to be served. Now remember, I told you that Jesus is the perfect child. And indeed, He is. God sent Jesus into the world and called Him Son. And Jesus did everything perfectly. And so He shows us how to do things. Was He disciplined? He was. And He even learned to be discerning. It says in Isaiah chapter 7 that the Messiah who was going to come was able to learn to discern between cottage cheese and honey. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was human. He had to learn even those simple things. And so Jesus, the perfect Son, sent by the perfect Father, models for us what we ought to do. And Jesus was very self-disciplined. We ought to teach children this. This is part of our responsibility. If we go to the next slide, it'll show that. God grows up His children by expecting them to exercise self-discipline. It says in 1 Peter 1:14, which is the next verse, with self-control or self-discipline, now that you understand the better way, do it. You take responsibility for it. Do it. That's what he says, literally. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which you're quite familiar with, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. This is all about discipline. Changing the way you think and what you do. Now, so with self-control, now that you understand this better way, do it, he says. Now, that's not the end of it. In the past, before we learned about being disciples of Jesus, before we learned that his ways are higher than our ways, we just thought and behaved like the rest of the people around us. We tend to fit in. We tend to put ourselves in the mold of what other people do and how they behave and how they think. Well, that's exactly what Paul said not to do. And he said not to do that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The challenge, the great challenge of this passage is that God is challenging us to be different than our community. God wants you to be very different than your community. In what ways? Well, God said, I want you to be holy as I am holy. And that's where we start, because it's an explicit command. I want you to be holy as I am holy. Well, how is God holy, and what does that mean? To be holy means to be different like Jesus. That's what it means. It sounds like a big religious word where you wear a halo if you get there. That's not what it means. To be holy means to be different, like Jesus is different. Was Jesus different than his community? Yeah. He didn't strive to fit in to the Jewish way of thinking. He didn't strive to fit into the Roman world or the political system. He was very different. He was holy. Be holy as I am holy, the scripture says. Now, in verse 14, it says, in the past, you did not have the understanding that you have now. In other words, you come to the place where you begin to learn and you have understanding. So you did evil things you wanted to do. In other words, you just did whatever you felt like doing. We have an old nature, and whatever the old nature said to do, we just do it. And he goes on to say, but now you are children of God. Things have changed. So you should obey him and not live the way you lived before. We disciples are God's children. He expects us to live different than the community around us. If your goal is to fit into the community around you, you might have a very different view of your future than God has for you. If you're trying to get your children to fit in, is that really what God wants you to do? Because fitting in is not what we are to do. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Be different. He told that to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were a very fallen society and had all kinds of problems. And I realize that it's very common for people to believe that, well, we just need to show our children to be like other kids or to do what have their own autonomy. But do we really want our children to learn to envy? Do we really want our children to learn to lie? Do we really want to learn for our children to gossip or covet what they don't have? These are the very things we're trying to teach our children not to be because of what the scriptures say. Imagine, for instance, you have your little toddler with you. Many of you, maybe all of you, have done this. You're at the supermarket and you're going to the checkout line and your little toddler is right beside you and reaches up in the candy rack and gets whatever candy they want. Now, haven't we all done that? And what did you do? What did you do when your child did that? Did you go crazy? You didn't go crazy. You just simply explain to the child, that doesn't belong to us. And you gently take it and you put it back in the rack. Or you say, we have to pay for that because it's not ours. You see, God is teaching us like this too, that certain things don't belong to us. The child doesn't understand, but the child learns to distinguish what's mine and what is not mine, what God has designed for me and what he's not designed for me. Now, that brings us to another aspect here, and that is the goal of parenting is giving children wings to be responsible, self-sustaining, and giving adults. This is what God does for you as he's growing you up, and this is what you ought to be doing for your children. The goal of parenting is to make your child an adult, a responsible adult, a giving, loving adult, a Christ-loving adult. Now, have we not all had the feelings that we don't want our kids to grow up? Haven't we all had that? We get very nostalgic about that. We look back, even 6 months ago, our children were cuter and nicer. You know, and we look back on that and we say, wow, I don't want my children to grow up because, you know, you have these feelings about your children being little and so forth. But do you understand that if your child does not grow, there's something wrong with your child? And what you see as joy in that idea becomes tragedy if that actually happens. It's not God's design. that we keep our children little and irresponsible and fun-loving all the time. There's such a thing as responsibility in life. That's growing up. And that's really what he's talking about in this passage. The goal of parenting is giving children wings to be responsible, self-sustaining, giving adults. That's what discipleship is. That's what growing up in Christ is all about. Now, let's go on to the next slide, and we're going to come to a close. And that is instill discernment, because he says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that appears to be right, but the end leads to death. Now, what does he mean, death? Well, there's all kinds of death. Death just means separation. So there's a way that seems right about how I spend my money. I call it my money. It's really God's money. But there's a way that seems right how I spend it, but the end thereof will separate me from that money. There's a way that seems right how I treat other people, but if I do what my flesh says to do, what I will do is end up killing that relationship. You see, God tells us how to live. God teaches us right from wrong. So I'm encouraging you, parents, to verbalize and show your children God's way. God's way is different. And here's the great challenge I set before you. God is holy, therefore you be holy. God is different, therefore you be different. What we are doing at Beulah is we are creating an island of safety where you can live for Jesus. You know how intimidating it is out there for most people? They don't talk about Jesus out there at the workplace. But there's an island of safety here. And your home is an island of safety where you can talk about Jesus and where you can live for the Lord and grow. So we're really not trying to get our kids to be like other kids. No, we're trying to get our kids to be like Jesus and to teach them how to grow up and be responsible and be discerning, because this is God's will for parents. Now, we'll continue talking about parenting in the weeks ahead, but let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and ask God to help us. Father, we pray right now that you will help us to be courageous parents. Help us, Lord, to believe you. Help us, Lord, not to fit into the ways of the world and to obey what you say in Romans 12:2, not to be conformed to this world. So I pray, Father, that you will give us discernment and courage as parents, that we will raise our children different. And the way that we're different is not by being elite or odd, but by being the loving people, the serving people, the honest people, the humble people, because indeed this is what Jesus is. Bring us to this understanding, we pray, Lord, and in the Lord Jesus' name, amen. Now let's sing to the Father, okay? Let's stand and sing to the Father. Father, I adore you. We're going to do Father, I adore you, Jesus, I adore you, and Spirit, I adore you. And we're just do it a cappella. Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. Now that's a prayer of you. Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life before you. What we're going to learn before it's all over is how to love God back. God bless you. You're dismissed. How are you doing, Keith? Good to see you, man. I'm glad you're here.
Seems like every Sunday I have somebody
working. Yeah. Work, 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 isn't it?